flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the final hour of power here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock as we continue to get you warmed up for Eagles and Commanders on Sunday. Washington back in the NFC Championship game for the first time in 33 years. And I want to get this out of the way real quick. I am so tired of hearing, oh, they're playing with house money. Oh, no matter what happens Sunday, it's a good season. It is win or die for the Washington Commanders coming up on Sunday. And a little birdie tells me they're pretty eager to continue their postseason run. Joining us right now via the guest hotline is our pal Alex Flum, who covers the Washington Commanders for DC News. Now you can give him a follow on the old X app at Alex Flum TV. Alex, you are a part of the youngest in charge movement like myself. There have been many viral moments this postseason of you being out and about with the Burgundy and Gold faithful. One, I appreciate you joining us. And two, how special has this ride been for you as a DMV native?
Well, Linnell, you are the guy I've been wanting to talk to all week about this, and this has been a special week. I never thought I'd see this day. You asked me a couple years ago. I don't think I'd see this day. You know, because obviously, you know, we're reporters. We work in sports media. We cover the team. You have to put on that reporter hat. But sometimes it's impossible to have that reporter hat on and forget about your life outside of that. And, you know, one of our anchors today, one of my live hits, says to me, you know, Alex, what's your favorite memory from you were a kid watching this team? And I said, well, I have like four, you know. You know, four
few
in 20
and far
years.
Between, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I think the kids right now, just like the veterans on this team say the rookies are lucky, the kids right now that are just getting to watch this team, I think don't realize that, you know, if there's a 9-year-old kid out there like I was in 2005 watching this team, seeing them win a playoff game, not knowing I wouldn't see it again for 20 years, the kids now that are seeing this, you know, this they probably don't know how good they have it. They've seen more good moments than people in their late 20s and early 30s have seen from this team in their entire life. So I think that sums up what this week is. This week, this season is a long time coming for all of us here.
Alex, I think you get a very unique perspective getting to be inside that Commanders locker room week in and week out. I know you'll make the trip to Philadelphia this weekend. I'm excited for you for that. Being around them this week, though, with the NFC, you know, championship game logo in the background when guys are answering questions at the podium, does it feel like it's just another week for these guys, or are they finally letting the moment actually get to them?
Well, I think that Dan Quinn and his mantras and this incredibly seasoned coaching staff have truly, I'm not going to say, I don't know the right word to put it here. I'll say they've convinced these guys that it's not a big week.
Yeah.
They've gotten them to buy into, and we ask them, you know, I'll ask guys, you know, how excited are you? You know, the fact that you win this game, you're in the Super Bowl. And I can't tell you how many guys have said, well, we don't want to make it a big game. And then I'll say to them, so you're telling me you're going to bed tonight, 3 days to the NFC Championship game, and you're not excited. And then I've gotten, you know, some of the younger guys to me. I think guys like Bobby Wagner maybe won't budge, and and like Jaden is laser focused. But, you know, some of these younger guys, like they say, that they're not super hyped, but I think they all are, but they're really focused. And I think that's the good mentality that they have. I mean, even like, for instance, today they were playing some EDM music and Austin Eckler, you can see it on my Twitter and Instagram. He was just like jamming out to it, going kind of crazy. Yesterday, Terry was dancing. So they're focused, they're dialed in. I think they are very excited, but I think they also have this belief that they belong here. Yeah. And you can kind of see it in their eyes where no matter what anybody's saying about them, they know they've gotten here, and they, in their hearts, know that they can do this and win this game. And who knows what happens after that when you get to the big one.
Man, you have had one of the more interesting back and forths this year with the quarterback of this team, Jayden Daniels. He always seems to give you an answer that goes semi-viral every time you post it. I want to talk about him for a second, because let's just be real. Yes, it takes all 53 guys in the locker room and the chefs and the trainers and the coaching staff, but make no mistake about it, the 2024 Washington Commanders would not be in this position if it wasn't for the quarterback, Jayden Daniels. Take me back to your first moment, Alex, of when you realized, hey, not only is this kid pretty damn good for a rookie, but he is one of the elite quarterbacks in the sport right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cincinnati game was the first time that I was like, okay, like that throw at the end of the game, I'm like, we're going to be watching him doing this for years, because, you know, it was a little timid the first two games, and I really think that was the big breakout. But Cleveland, week five, there was a play. He's under pressure. He's rolling out to the right. I was in the press box, and he's on the right side of the field, and he kind of leans back and just heaves it. I don't know what it was, 50 yards or 40 yards or what, and connects on that deep throw. And that, seeing that in person, I was like, wow. Like, I think the whole press box let out an audible gasp. But that, then, of course, you have Chicago, the Hail Mary, and that was when it was like, all right, I think I even said to some of my friends who were lifelong fans after that Chicago game, I said, I hope you guys understand that you guys are going to get to see this team make a Super Bowl one day with this guy. I didn't even think they'd be in the NFC Championship this year, but, you know, here we are. One of my friends even apologized to me. He's like, I'm so sorry, I doubted what you were saying. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think those were the moments, but the thing is, you bring up those big moments. It's like, it's like almost every game he's got like three or four other moments that if you saw more than half the quarterbacks in the league make plays like that, that would be their play of the year. You know what I mean? So it reminds me of when I was first watching Patrick Mahomes, and I would say, you know, the stuff he was doing his first season, like, you could tell this guy's going to be around doing this for years. So, I mean, I hope the people in the DMV realize how special they have it in Jayden Daniels, because he was even talking about Kobe Bryant today and how he was one of his favorite basketball players and the impact he had on him. I mean, he's kind of got the Mamba mentality, showing up early, working hard, but he's also got the skill set. It almost reminds me of Kobe Bryant in a way. So,
yeah,
I mean, I think this is just the beginning here.
Oh, of course. I think we all hope it's just the beginning. Obviously, we know the way the National Football League works, things can change at the drop of a dime. I'm glad you brought up his mentioning of Kobe Bryant today, because I thought his answer perfectly like encapsulates who he is and why he's having the success he's having. I think I told you this before. I remember this offseason when the stories began to come out. I think it was Jeremy Fowler of ESPN first putting it in one of his insider notebooks that, oh, you know, folks, I texted with an NFC scout or an NFC executive, and they said, look out for Daniels in Washington. I talked to someone within the building, and they were raving about how special he was. And then you hear about him showing up at 5 o'clock every day. I initially rolled my eyes, Alex, because I'm like, of course you're going to say whatever to pump up the guy that's billed to be the face of your franchise long term. But sooner rather than later, you realize that it's not just cliche. It's not just hype. This kid is real. He said today that at first, when he was younger, he loved Kobe Bryant, the player, because he was going out and scoring, you know, scored 81 points in a game and was making defenders look silly. But then he talked about, Alex, as he got older, he fell in love with Kobe Bryant, falling in love with the process. And I think that is the perfect way to describe what we're seeing from this young man right now, a guy that's, as you've said, laser-focused and dialed in on the main thing.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And I think Terry said it this week, is that the way he approaches it, how calm and collected he is, it rubs off on the rest of the team. So, you know, I think from Jaden all the way up to Dan Quinn and the coaching staff and Adam Peters in the front office and Josh Harris in the ownership group, I mean, I think it has been a perfect storm to be where we are right now. Like, in sports, you need a perfect storm to make a run if you're not in this team full of elite talent, which I don't think it is here, but there's a lot of guys that are fitting into the right roles, and Dan Quinn is putting guys into the right roles. And honestly, Linnell, the one thing I'll bring up too is an under-the-radar thing is that all the guys on the team talk about the fact that Dan Quinn makes every person in this building, no matter who they are, feel like they're a part of this success and a part of what the team is doing. I mean, whether it's, you know, John Bates, you know, a Ron Rivera guy making a catch late in the Detroit Lions game, dialing up a play for him. Or, you know, we talked to Tyler Ott, the long snapper today, and he was kind of talking about how Quinn makes everyone feel included. So no matter who it is, I think this team, if it's Jaden Daniels or if it's Tyler Ott, I think they all really believe in like a common belief. And I think we're, you know, we're giving, yes, they're not here without Jaden, but I also think the culture that Dan Quinn has built here, there's something to be said about it.
You get the opportunity, Alex, of covering pretty much every sport here locally. You've covered the Orioles, you've covered the Nats, you've covered the Caps, you've covered Wizards, you've covered Commanders. You've been out there with Big Foe, Francis Tiafoe, covering him. And they always say in sports media, right, you never want to get too political, you never want to get too religious. I can't help but notice that it feels like maybe at the end of this thing, the driving force behind it, no matter what you believe in, the spirituality that this team has, they can't go to the podium without thanking the big man upstairs. Have you ever been around something like that? And how much credit do you give their togetherness to the religion piece of this thing?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen different teams, whether at the high school or college or pro level, you know, talk about their faith and thank God. And I think that's something you see a lot. And you know, I think there is something to be said about the bond that this group has. And I know Jaden also talks about that a lot. So I definitely think I think you could say that that has an impact here. But I think this team is just totally together as a whole. You know, when you're winning, it's easy to be together. But this group, they really seem to genuinely like each other. Yeah. And you see that on teams that lose sometimes. But, I mean, there's something special about this team and something special about this season that I think is going to be something remembered here for a long time.
Joined right now by our guy Alex Flum, who covers the Washington Commanders for DC News Now. You can give him a follow on the X app at Alex Flum TV. Let's get into the X's and O's of this thing here real quickly, Alex. We got a big game coming up Sunday. Washington looking to punch their ticket. I got to pinch myself every time I say it, Alex. God damn it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's amazing. They get right 60 minutes away from punching their ticket to the Super Bowl. I know you've looked at this thing from all angles throughout the week. What would to you is going to be the deciding factor in this football game if Washington is to come out victorious?
So I think a lot of people say Saquon Barkley is the deciding factor, right?
Right.
I think if somehow they come out and totally limit him and totally shut him down, that's going to be the deciding factor. But let's be real.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Too good of a player.
You can slow him down, but you can't totally stop him with what he's done. And they're going to try to, but, you know, especially the way this team has played against really good running backs, that's going to be tough. So I think that, one, the turnover battle is going to be big.
Yes.
Commanders totally won that against the Lions. They've taken care of the football all season long. I don't know if we've let alone seen a quarterback take care of the football as well as Jaden Daniels has, even being a rookie. But I think I would say that that X factor and the difference is going to be just taking care of everything else.
Yeah.
Because if they can take care of everything else where they're shutting them down in the passing game, They're able to get their offense going. They can let Saquon get some of those big runs if they take care of everything else. But a lot of these Eagles games, you know, they've been grinding out these wins.
Yeah.
And I think that the Commanders are going to need to keep up that aggression that they had in the Lions game because, you know, you convert a couple fourth downs here and there, extend some drives.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, all this being said, if they can, when they get down the field, which I think they will, punch it in for 7 and not have to settle for 3.
Huge.
I think that's going to be the difference because we saw that so much early in the Lions game, and we saw that in the Tampa game a lot, that they were getting downfield, down to the 30, down to the 20, down to the 15, whatever, and here comes Zane Gonzalez, or fourth down and they miss. So I just think that they need to convert those chances when they get downfield for sure.
Yeah, red zone offense going to be huge for Washington. They did a really good job last weekend taking advantage of those opportunities, 4 for 4 in the red zone. Let's just be real, Alex. We don't want to see Zane Gonzalez, all right? We've made it this far not to make it this far. And one way to have your Cinderella story ended is if you see too much of the kicker. I totally agree with you. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, Alex, here for Washington that's been really a key here down the stretch, an individual, I guess, is Jonathan Allen. I looked at the way he played in the first 2 postseason games, man, and I said, that's the John Allen that we've been looking for. I know it wasn't a stat sheet stuffing performance in the wild card round against Tampa, but you saw the ability of him to, you know, be physical at the point of attack, not let the offensive line climb up to Wagner and Luvu. And as a result, those two had a fine performance against Tampa. But last week, Alex, he kind of pulled out what I like to call the do-it-yourself kit. 6 pressures on Jared Goff, 4 quarterback hits, his most pressures in a game since 2022. When you got the chance to talk to Jonathan Allen this week, the mentality of him, I want you to tell to the folks. And then how impressed are you personally to see a guy come back from what was supposed to be a season-ending surgery, Alex?
So what I'll say first is we did not get to talk to Jonathan Allen this week, so
Oh, really?
I can't answer that part of the question. But when we have talked to him in the times that he's been back, he's been very stoic, very serious.
Yeah.
Shocker
for John Allen, right?
Well, no, I mean, in the past, there's been a lot of moments. And when I say serious, I mean he's just laser focused, kind of
right,
like that what we were talking about with Jaden. But in the past, you know, when he said I'm sick and tired of this BS, you know,
yeah,
remember when he said that? You know, and there was a time I think when they were like, you know, 3-7 or whatever one game, or 2-4 or 2-5, and I said, you know, what do you think about the potential that this team can do? And he said, potential is a word for a team that hasn't accomplished anything. So he's been here through all of the struggles, all of the crap, so to speak. And now he's here, part of something amazing that he is probably pinching himself every day, whether he admits it to us or not. So I think he's very, in the interactions we've had with him lately, I think he's very focused of like, you know, I'm happy to be here. I'm focused on this, but I want more. That's at least what I'm kind of gleaming
finish
from what he's
job.
Saying. Yeah, finish the job. And I don't think he's going to crack a smile to us maybe until that job is finished. But I mean, in terms of how he was kind of not fully the John Allen we know coming back, I mean, we have to remember, like you were saying, you know, he missed 2.5 months of football. That's a lot of time. And, you know, I agree with you, Linnell, that he's kind of slowly coming back into the zone. So especially when you're talking about trying to combat and limit Saquon Barkley, if you can have a full strength Jonathan Allen,
yeah,
and Daron Payne stepping it up as well, the two of them in the middle there, with Johnny Newton rotating in. I mean, that's going to be a big factor if the three of them can be, you know, ready to roll. And, you know, John Allen, like we're saying, kind of could be an X factor this week.
For sure, Alex. As we know, John Allen didn't play in either of the 2 meetings in the regular season against Philadelphia. Real quick, your prediction here as we're up against the clock and got to get you out of here. What do you think happens on Sunday?
I've been saying it all week. I've been saying it since the Quan Martin interception. The Commanders are going to win this game. I think they win by a touchdown. I think it's back and forth. I'll tweet out an official score. I don't know my official score yet, but
we'll give you some time.
I think this team is going to New Orleans. I think this incredible season is not done yet. And I think Jaden Daniels is going to cement himself into the history of this franchise, the history of the NFL, and the history of sports. And it's not going to be the first time he does it. I don't know if they're going to win when they get to New Orleans, right, but I'm telling you right now, I think they're going to beat the Eagles.
Alex, I appreciate you giving us some time as always, my friend.
As always, thanks, Leno.
That is Alex Flum, one of the absolute best talking all things Washington Commanders. Give him a follow on the X app at Alex Flum TV. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, my keys to the game, an official prediction, is next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge movement, Lyle Willingham, riding with you for about another half hour as we take you up to 10 o'clock, previewing Commanders and the Eagles. Washington looking to punch their ticket to the Super Bowl for the first time in 33 seasons. Right now, I want to let you know how I think it will possibly do it. My keys to the game and my official prediction come your way right now. I think the first key for me is pretty simple. If you hear me each and every week on the Burgundy and Gold pregame show right here on The Fan, we've talked about how important it is to stay ahead of the sticks. I think in this game, it is no different. Winning first and second down on both sides of the football is going to be huge for the Washington Commanders. Here's why I say on both sides of the football. We know Philadelphia is a team like Washington is uber aggressive when it comes to going for it on fourth down. One thing that would discourage Philadelphia from going for it on fourth down is if they're consistently in third and long situations, they're not built to go for it on fourth and four plus. We know the tush push is sort of like a cheat code for that team. If you can win on first and second down and force them into third and longs, I think you got a real good shot here if you're Washington. I also think if you're able to get him in a third and long, that opens the door up to Jalen Hurts having to be the guy that beats you in this football game. It was very weird looking at the box score for the Philadelphia Eagles last week against the LA Rams, and really in other weeks as well. Not a lot of guys getting involved in the passing game for the Eagles. It's either Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, or Saquon Barkley really in the stat sheet when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles. Last week, Goddard had four catches. Barkley had four catches. Goddard actually the leading receiver last week for Philadelphia. So key to put them in those third and long situations because the weaponry on the outside for Philadelphia, Washington, I think matches up with pretty well. On the defensive side of the football for Washington, you have given up the most yards per play this postseason. Not very good, but on the same token, right, you also have scored the most points off turnovers this postseason. So my second key, I don't think you got to go out and force five to win the football game, but you got to force a turnover to steal a possession from the Philadelphia Eagles and allow Jaden Daniels and company to try and matriculate this football down the field. They have been tough to stop all year long, especially during this seven-game win streak. You get them an extra possession or two, and I think this football game changes drastically. I don't know if Saquon Barkley is going to put the football on the turf. It's not something he does a whole lot, so it seems like your best avenue or route to a turnover being forced in this game is Jalen Hurts dropping back, or maybe, just maybe, a group that I consider the best kickoff coverage unit in the NFL, led by Jeremy Reeves and company. Maybe they're able to force a turnover and potentially change the outcome of this football game. And then my third and final key, you can say it's cliche, you can say, duh, Linnell, that's what you're talking about. Jaden Daniels, crank up the music. Jaden Daniels got to be the best player on the field coming up Sunday. He was the best player on the field last weekend. I think that formula has to maintain to be true if Washington is going to punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. And now the moment of truth has come. It's been a roller coaster of a season. Washington's gone through a ton of adversity. They've proven a lot of the doubters and critics wrong. I think the Cinderella story continues and they punch their ticket to New Orleans. Give me Washington Sunday by a score of 24-19. I think this defense puts together one of their best efforts of the season. They forced 5 turnovers last week. This week, I think they hold the Eagles to 19 points. Our guy Mike Jones comes up next. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest and Charles Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock as we continue to get you geared up for Championship Sunday in the National Football League. Eagles and Commanders set to duke it out Sunday for the right to go to the Super Bowl. Right now, I want to go out to the guest hotline where we find national NFL writer for The Athletic, my pal Mike Jones. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at By Mike Jones. Mike, Happy New Year, my friend.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man, good. Always good to catch up with you. You are someone that covered the Washington Commanders, then Redskins, for the Washington Post, if I'm not mistaken, and you got to watch the infutility of this franchise. How refreshing is it for you, someone that's been close to this thing, to see this group have the success they've had here in year one? And then, Mike, I almost got to pinch myself every time I say it. They're 60 minutes away from punching their ticket to the postseason.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something that has been a really, really long time. I mean, since there's been any type of this level of excitement in the D.C. area, you know. And to see them not only play well and lay a foundation, but to exceed expectations on every front, not just Jaden Daniels, but then for them also to not just make the playoffs, but win a playoff game, and then win another playoff game, and now be here in the NFC Championship game, and the fact that there was always something non-football related that would happen with this team. And now it's been nothing but football all year long. Nothing but football, nothing but progress, nothing but, you know, great vibes. And so, yeah, it's great for I'm happy for the fan base because they have been through it. And, you know, it'll be exciting to see what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely going to be exciting. I think the fan base, as you mentioned, deserves it. The AFC Championship between Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs going up against Josh Allen and the Bills. I said it before we brought you on, Mike. I think Josh Allen has the most to gain out of any of the quarterbacks this postseason. If he is finally able to get over the hump of Patrick Mahomes, and let's just use the hypothetical that they go all the way to win the Super Bowl, Mike, how will we be viewing Josh Allen when we start next NFL season?
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, if he is able to get that monkey off his back and beat Mahomes to get to the Super Bowl, which is something he hasn't been able to do, and he does get a ring, then that brings him a whole nother – I mean, look, this guy has been regarded as one of the better quarterbacks, one of the best quarterbacks of his generation, but getting a Super Bowl ring would be huge for him because, you know, now you're not just chasing Mahomes and trying to get a ring. You've got one. And you've got your legacy cemented, and, you know, yeah, it would be great to win more than one, but having gotten one would be huge. And, look, we'll see what happens here with this MVP voting. I suspect that
You know, the votes are in already. I suspect that Lamar Jackson will edge him out based on, you know, how the all-pro voting was. But he cares about getting a Super Bowl. And then you can worry about MVP later on. But so getting a Super Bowl would definitely give him that big, you know, star on his resume that has been missing.
When you both of these quarterbacks talk about Lamar and Josh Allen, they both don't have a Super Bowl. Lamar's got the two MVPs. In all likelihood, as you mentioned, is probably going to be a third this year. When you talk to folks around the league, and I guess I want your opinion too, Mike, which of those two quarterbacks do you prefer?
I mean, I think it's just a matter of preference. I don't know that there's not a consensus around the league on, you know, what you prefer. Both guys are able to hurt you with their legs. Both guys are able to hurt you with their arms. You know, Lamar is faster, a little more elusive than Josh Allen. Josh Allen is, you know, more of a power runner. But, you know, again, both of them, you know, fantastic passers. Lamar this year, you know, became the first quarterback to pass for 4,100 yards and rush for 900 yards in the same season. You know, both of them are elite. And so when you're able to get the job in the postseason, that's when you remove all doubt about you. And so if Allen was able to do that, then he has those questions off his back. But I don't think that there's anybody that would still say, you know, that there's a huge gap between either one of them as far as what's desirable, you know, for most people around the league.
Keeping things on the Ravens here for a second, obviously Baltimore coming up short last weekend, Lamar Jackson, two big-time turnovers in the opening half. How did you view what happened last weekend, and how much of the burden do you put on Lamar Jackson?
Well, I mean, it all adds up. You know, the game did not come down to that because he was able to lead them down. They had scored the touchdown, had the play that they wanted to tie the game. But at the same time, if they don't have those turnovers in the first half, then, you know, I think one of them, they scored a field goal off of that, and so it's a different outcome. So it's not just on Lamar. It's not just on Mark Andrews. It's on the whole Ravens team. You know, for whatever reason, you know, last year they were going into the end zone, and Zay Flowers stretches out and tries to get that touchdown, which would have put them up over the Chiefs, and he fumbled the ball. So for whatever reason, they get to the playoffs and they have turnover woes. When Lamar, all season long, he only had four interceptions. And Mark Andrews, I think, had only had two fumbles for his whole career. So an uncharacteristic loss for them in the grand scheme of things, but unfortunately more of the same when it comes to the postseason. And so it takes a while to get over that hump. Lots of times the team in the postseason that prevails is the team that doesn't hurt itself. You know, Josh Allen didn't have a huge game, but his team took care of the football. I think every team that won last weekend got outgained by their opponent, but they didn't have turnovers. And so that's where the difference is. You can't have self-inflicted wounds, and that's why the Ravens didn't win that game.
It's just, I don't know, man. I've been one of the biggest Lamar Jackson backers there are. It's just tough, man. When you look at Lamar did have a multiple turnover game all season long, and then to go out and have multiple turnovers in the first half, it just seems like the past couple of years, whenever he's gotten into the postseason, the play, for whatever reason, is dropping. I understand that it's a team game as well, but we all know the quarterback position has as much pressure on it, you know, as any in sports. And, you know, right now, when you look at Lamar Jackson, 3-5 in the postseason, there were some numbers that were put up from our guy Warren Sharp of Sharp Football. Peyton Manning had the same record through his first seven seasons in the National Football League in terms of the postseason record. When you enter next year, when you're Lamar Jackson, does it kind of feel like, I know he's a young quarterback still, do you ever begin to feel like maybe he feels like the clock is ticking internally on, like, getting over the hump and he's going to run out of time potentially?
I don't think it's run out of time. It's just that he's an intense competitor and he wants it more than anything. He knows how much it means to the city. It knows how much he means for himself. And so I think that, you know, the fumble that he had last week, he was trying to do too much. You know, sometimes it's better to get both hands on the ball, and sometimes you got to take a sack, or sometimes, you know, you have an interception. Instead of forcing things, you got to throw it away. And I think that, you know, pressure gets to you and you force things and you make mistakes. And I think, you know, possibly that's what happened to him. But again, this doesn't define, this isn't, you know, the final chapter on Lamar Jackson. He's not even 30 yet. And so there's still a lot of time. Again, you never know if you're able to bounce right back the next year. You don't know how effective Derrick Henry is going to be another year. But you're hoping that that window can stay open. But I do think that it's still possible. And, you know, we might see, you know, I'm not saying it's next year or whatever, but it's still possible for Lamar to win a Super Bowl.
Joined right now by national NFL reporter for The Athletic, Mike Jones. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at By Mike Jones. Want to get to the coaching carousel here real quick, Mike. Yesterday, Aaron Glenn putting pen to paper on becoming the next head coach of the New York Jets. When you look at the hiring process for the New York Jets, do you believe that Aaron Glenn was their guy from the get-go? And then from your knowledge, what are the Jets getting in the former Lions defensive coordinator?
I don't know if he was their first guy. Who knows? They had a lot of interviews that didn't make a lot of sense. It was like they were just throwing darts at a board and let's get as many names as we possibly can with some of these, you know. And so I don't know. It's really hard to say. And, I mean, I know they're getting a good coach, a quality defensive coordinator, great defensive mind, a strong leader of men. I don't know how it works out for him. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in that organization. We'll see what happens, you know, with them. But they've had, you know, we thought that Robert Saleh was a strong leader and a great defensive mind. And there's so much dysfunction where you've got a meddlesome owner who, you know, is dictating moves based on, you know, the opinions of his teenage kids, you know. And I mean, you can't have success that way. So I'm hoping that Aaron Glenn can help turn things around for the Jets, but I'm not real confident that you know, he's going to be in a position to succeed just based on the track record of that organization.
Yeah, the one big red flag to me that I continue to see, you know, I don't know if you see it a ton across the league, but you're seeing it here with this Jets situation. I'm just not a big fan of hiring the head coach and then going out and trying to hire a GM. I think it should be the other way around. What did you think of the way that they're choosing to go about this in their organizational structure?
Well, I mean, the thing that you want is for your GM and your head coach to be on the same page. And if there is somebody, like in their interviews, maybe they wanted a GM and a head coach to be joined at the hip. Maybe there's somebody that Aaron Glenn is tight with from the Lions front office or from his days in New Orleans, and he has said, hey, I'd like to work with this guy. If I could hire my own GM, this would be my right-hand guy. This would be my guy. If that's their thinking, that they were going to hire a head coach and bring along a general manager that can be on the same page with him, that he's got a strong relationship with, then I'm okay with that. But if they go out and hire somebody without a lot of input from the head coach, that would just be, you know, you're destined yourself to fail. But because they got the head coach first, I have to believe that in their interviews that they talked to, you know, coaches and they talked to Aaron Glenn about, hey, who would you like to work with as a general manager? What kind of a GM? And he's probably going to have input. And so in that point, if that's the case, it can work. And if they have similar philosophies and, you know, they're, you know, in lockstep with each other. So, you know, we'll see.
Mike, when you talk to folks, I know it's kind of early here, talking a little draft stuff. But when you look at the top of the draft, Tennessee and Cleveland owning the top two picks, you could throw the Giants in there as well, all three quarterback needy teams. Do you think, from what you're, you know, initially gathering, do you think that teams are infatuated enough by Shador and a Cam Ward to actually pull the trigger on them in the top three, or do you see more of those QB needy teams going the veteran bridge route?
You know, I don't know. I am not in draft mode yet.
Yeah, I
haven't had a whole lot of conversations about that yet. Normally, what I do is once I get through the Super Bowl and everything, then I start turning my attention, start really educating myself on holes and what teams are thinking and everything like that. It's so early. A lot of these teams haven't even begun to start looking towards the draft, even though their college scouts and things have had their attention there. From what I gather, there is not a slam dunk in either one of these top quarterbacks. So it's hard to say which one is the best fit for either one of these teams, because each of them have limitations when you have to look at the roster and be like, okay, well, which is in best position to be able to support a young guy and give him time to develop? There's still questions there as well. You could go the veteran route, but this isn't a super strong veteran class that's coming in free agency as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. You have Kirk Cousins out there. You might have Russell Wilson out there. You might have Justin Fields. But it's still a lot of questions to still be answered, a lot of sorting out to figure out before we figure out, okay, what it looks like these teams are going towards the draft.
One team that is kind of flying under the radar this offseason, and I was a big fan of the move they made, I believe it was yesterday, is the Las Vegas Raiders bringing in John Spytek, the former assistant GM in Tampa. They've done a really good job putting that roster together, on their way to five straight NFC South championships. When you look at the Raiders' job, do you see a guy like Liam Cohen potentially departing from Tampa and joining Spytek in Vegas?
That's a possibility. And the thing is like you said, Spytek has been a part of a really strong front office there in Tampa. Obviously, Tom Brady's got good familiarity with him from his time there. And this is a relationship-based business.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys, your general managers have coaches that they've had their eyes on. And so Liam Cohen has been mentioned as a guy there, and he's done a great job with Baker Mayfield in this past year that he's been working with him. But there's also talk that maybe he might be a fit in Jacksonville. So we'll see. But, it wouldn't surprise me if, because of the ties to Liam Cohen, that if, Spytek were to bring him there. And look, the Raiders don't have a bad roster. Tom Telesco didn't do a bad job in his 1 year as the GM. Three of his top four draft picks wound up being starters, two along the offensive line, and Brock Bowers, the tight end, being the other. They just messed up in not getting a quarterback last year. So they could have won some more games. So it's not an awful roster. Spytek is sharp, and he should be able to add some pieces there. And if you get a quarterback situation resolved, that first-year head coach, whether it's Liam Cohen or somebody else, has a chance to help start turning that thing in the right direction. Just sucks for them that they're in such a tough division behind the Chiefs, behind the Chargers, and it's going to be behind the Broncos. And so it's going to be hard for them to dig their way out of the hole.
Yeah, it's going to be an uphill climb for sure for whoever takes that Vegas Raiders job. Mike, I guess we saved the best for last, because I'm super intrigued to hear your thoughts on this. What the hell is going on in Dallas?
Jerry Jones getting up there, maybe a little senile, not being too proud to step aside and let somebody else handle the talent evaluation and the hiring decisions. Look, I know you're the owner. You want to have input, and I don't know. I mean, he hung on to Mike McCarthy too long, and, it's still possible for him to get, a quality head coach, because there's guys out there. But again, I don't know. Whoever the head coach that comes in, you have a quarterback, you have a franchise pass rusher, you got talented wide receiver, quality offensive line. But that team, it's not a bad roster, but they continue to underachieve. Mike McCarthy definitely had a ceiling. Everybody could see it. And so why Jerry Jones stuck with it another year, really, I can't understand. And then why it took him so long to go ahead and fire him and, jump on the coaching search is beyond me as well. So who knows? It's hard to say, but it's going to be intriguing to see who he finally settles on.
The coaching carousel continues to spin in the National Football League. Mike, I appreciate you getting us up to speed with the latest.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Always love catching up with my guy, Mike Jones of The Athletic. That is going to do it, ladies and gentlemen, for this Friday night edition of Overtime. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, it is at NELL_BTP. Back with you tomorrow, 2 to 4:30, right here on The Fan.